All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey everybody, this is American Vindicta Show. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. This is episode 110. We are cruising along through these episodes. You know, I started this new series called the America's Most Unexplained. I'm going to be wrapping that up soon. I was hoping that I'd be done with it previously, but there's obviously things that have been coming up lately with the new disclosures from the Pentagon. And, you know, we've had some great guests on, like Timothy Alberino. We've had L.A. Marzulli on. You know, we've had some real experts within these fields. We had dear brother Jamie Walden on to talk to us about what he feels is coming with the alien deception. And we're going to be ending it, not with today, but on Monday. Monday will be the official ending of the UFO section. And it's been quite a journey learning what I've learned so far. I hope you've enjoyed it so far. We've gone through quite a litany of things that are out there about UFOs. And you know, it's hard to talk about something that's been out in the media for so long. It's hard to give new credible information. You know, honestly, it just ends up becoming an echo chamber, right? However, I'm hoping that what I was able to bring to you was coming from the law enforcement government standpoint, what it is that I look at, I guess you could say, with the importance of the UFO disclosure. I do like to look at the government documents because that's the lie that they're going to run with. You might as well know it, right? We all know that there's a lot of things about UFOs and the aliens that we just don't, you know, we don't honestly know. There's plenty of good presumptions, plenty of good theories out there, not just from the secular world and their experts, but also from experts and ufologists within the Christian world. And where these two things collide, from the secular world and those of us of faith, is that it eventually comes down to this belief system, and this belief system can be manipulated and is being manipulated as we speak. Here's what I mean. On Monday, we're going to talk about the, and I've been gathering a lot of evidence about this, but we're going to talk about the alien occultic ritual religions. I don't know if you even want to call them religions. There's a lot of rituals in it. There's a lot of people out there, esoterics, the New Agers, and they look at these alien saviors that are going to come back and they're going to save us from our sins, right? They're going to save us from ourselves. And I find it funny with the agnostics and the atheists who don't believe in the Lord our God, and don't believe in creationism, but yet they will believe that aliens came here and seeded life, right? So we have to be able to put out information. We have to be able to put out something that can hopefully veer people off of that narrative and to show them that there is another context out there with plenty of evidence to back this up. There's plenty of evidence to back up the fact that there is a religion based off of an entity, an extraterrestrial entity, not of this world, okay? And I'm not talking about like the type of stuff that Tim Alberino was talking about. I guess in a way I am, but not really. What I mean is there is plenty of context out there from the New World Order, the New Agers, the seculars, the esoterics. A lot of them are very occultic. I will just say all of them are occultic. And they're all anti-Christian. But yet they all want to claim lineage to Christ. Isn't that funny though? How many of these orders that are out there will say that, you know, everything came from the stars, our star brothers and sisters, our star fathers who seeded life on this planet. And then one day, a mile-wide spacecraft shows up over New York, and out pops Jesus Christ. And then they all say, here's the Lord. He said he would return. He's actually like one of us. And, you know, this is his planet. And he's come back to redeem you all and to save you all. Don't think I'm crazy when I say that. All right. I'm going to prove to you on Monday. And it, depending on how deep I want to get into it, it may stop Tuesday. But on Monday, I'm going to prove to you just how deep this story really goes. The Vatican has quite a bit of information about this that they don't want anyone to know of. And it goes along with things like the Lucifer Telescope. But if you look at all the ancient religions around the world, to include many of the First Nations people, the Native Americans, they all have the same hint at a lineage to a creature or a civilization, not from Earth, that came to Earth, that seeded us, that gave us technology, and occasionally, you know, peeks in and asks us how we're doing. And my problem with a lot of this, and the reason why I think it's very occultic, all of it, is that the number one thing that I have seen, the number one theme, is blood. Every time there is the gods that visit, the star fathers that visit, the portals that open, the giants that come out, the winged creatures and monsters, the Quetzalcoatl and the dragons and all this stuff. I mean, it's all around the world. It's all around the world. They all have to do with conquest of the human race and having sacrifice. That's like the two main themes that I have noticed so far in studying this. Why is that important? Because if this new age religion that's going to be coming to us, this alien deception religion, which is where I'm basing this off of, it's going to involve the conquest of the world, and it's going to involve the sacrifice of innocent blood to appease the gods, or to appease the false Christ. Now, for a teaser, I want to read you an article, and it's from the Vox.com. Now, Vox, they're kind of a documentary. They're you know, they used to be pretty good whenever they used to cover wars, but now they've really turned very leftist. They've always kind of been that direction, but now it's more than obvious. So this is what we have to deal with, right, folks? You know, we have to be able to discern this information. Now, this is a article that's wrote by Vox. It's wrote by Sean Illing. It's called The New American Religion of UFOs. Belief in aliens is like faith in religion and may come to replace it. I think this is very prevalent right now for these times that we're in to discuss things like this, to bring to you information that there are people out there, people who are very intelligent, people who are very powerful, and they speak to our governments. They speak to the world government. They have a hand in whatever our future is going to hold. So let's hear what they have to say. I guess you could say, I find a lot of this to be bullshit, but hey, I believe in Christ, that's my savior, not some UFOs and aliens, but here we go, there are people that are like that. Let's begin. It's a great time to believe in aliens. This article's from 2019, by the way. Last week, the New York Times published a viral article about reports of UFOs off the East Coast in 2014 and 2015. It included an interview with five Navy pilots who witnessed, and in some cases recorded, mysterious flying objects with no visible engine or infrared exhaust plumes that appear to reach 30,000 feet and hypersonic speeds. That's, of course, the gimbal footage and the tic-tac UFO footage. No one is quite sure what they saw, but the sightings are striking, and they are part of a growing fascination with the possibility of intelligent alien life. According to Diana Pasolka, a professor at the University of North Carolina and an author of the new book American Cosmic, belief in UFOs and extraterrestrials is becoming a kind of religion, and it isn't nearly as fringe as you might think. More than half of the American adults and over 60% of young people in America believe in intelligent extraterrestrial life. These tracks pretty closely with belief in God, and if Pasolka is right, that's not an accident. Her book isn't so much about the truth of UFOs or aliens as it is about what the appeal of belief in those things says about our culture and the shifting roles of religion and technology in it. On the surface, it's books about the popularity of beliefs in aliens, but it's really a deep look at how myths and religions are created in the first place and how human beings deal with unexplainable experiences. A lightly edited transcript of my conversation with Dr. Pasolka follows. From Sean Illing. You describe belief in UFOs and aliens as the latest manifestation of a very old impulse, a religious impulse. What is it about the extraterrestrials that captivates so many people? Now, this is from Diana Pasolka. Now, this is a conversation going back and forth, so just so that I can get through with it, I'm just going to mention Sean as Sean is talking, the author of this article, and Diana as this doctor of the North Carolina College. All right, Diana. One way we can make sense of this by using a very old but functional definition of religion as simply the belief in non-human and supernatural intelligent beings that often descend from the sky. There are many definitions of religion, but this one is pretty standard. There is another distinction about belief in non-human extraterrestrial intelligence or UFO inhabitants that makes it distinct from the types of religions with which we are most familiar. I'm a historian of Catholicism, for instance, and what I find when I interact with people in Catholic communities is that they have a faith that Jesus walked on water and that the Virgin Mary apparitions were true. So right off the bat, all right, I have not read fully this article. I wanted to surprise myself, all right, and I did already. Right off the bat. She is a historian of Catholicism. Do you not think that the Vatican had a hand in getting this woman to give her account to Vox? I believe they did. All right, the Vatican has their hands in quite a few places. They are the leading and best intelligence community network agency in the world. No one has been able to hide from what the Vatican can reach. That's why they're reaching into everything possible to tell you what's in this article. All right, let's continue. It's from Diana. But there's something different about the UFO narrative. Here we have the people who are actual scientists, like Ellen Stoffen, the former chief scientist at NASA, who are willing to go on TV and basically make announcements like, quote, "We are going to find extraterrestrial life." Now, she's not exactly talking about intelligent extraterrestrial life, but that's not how many people interpret her. She says we're going to find life. We're going to find habitable planets and things like that. So that gives this type of religiosity a far more powerful bite than the traditional religions, which are based on faith in things unseen and unprovable. But the belief that UFOs and aliens are potentially true, can potentially be proven, makes this uniquely powerful narrative for the people who believe in it. It is fair to call this a new form of religion. I think it is. All right, now this is from Sean. And hold on, before I get into that, what she just said is paramount, okay? The belief that UFOs and aliens are potentially true can potentially be proven. makes this a uniquely powerful narrative for the people who believe in it. All right. Listen to the message that is there. These agnostics and atheists, to include many people within different forms of religion, even a quote Christian religion, their faith is by sight. Their faith is by sight. Few people to this day have seen miracles. I would say very few people to this day call upon God to be the extending arm of their life, consistently calling for God to win the battles in front of them, to bless themselves, their home, their family, their finances, asking for God to intervene in matters that they don't have any control over, asking for God's favor of a new venture in business or a new form of investment, even to the extent of blessing what we eat and what we drink. This is a very powerful form of control that we're talking about here. When you devote yourself to God, you have to control your mind. You have to control those carnal things about you that would divvy you off the path to Christ, right? So it's a very tight form of self-control. And it's something that, you know, you start to see dividends in, and people are blessed with very religious-like experiences, I would say that, by, you know, actual blessings upon their family or themselves, or seeing miracles. I've seen miracles. I've seen things I cannot explain, and as a young man, I didn't know how to explain it, but now, as a Christian, I can only say that was the work of God. I have seen these things. I have had my spiritual battles, and my faith in Christ is firmly rooted, and it will not be uprooted by a small breeze with this UFO alien deception. So that's why I want to read this to you, because there are people out there, all right, hear me when I say this, there are people out there in your churches that you go to on Sundays and Wednesdays who believe aliens are on the same plane as humans, who believe that aliens are going to come to save us from ourselves, from our nuclear war, that they are our missing link, our star brothers. There are people out there who believe that we can baptize the aliens, or even better, that they can baptize us, because they actually know God more than we do. The Pope said that. The Pope. So when we see secular people talking about this, I mean, obviously, is she secular? You know, if she claims to be a Catholic, is she a Christian or is she secular? Or is this new blending of religions? All right. Just like with Chrislam, the blending of Christianity and Islam. And now this new blend of religions that the Pope has allowed to happen, where we have Islam and Christianity and Judaism all blended into the same thing, saying we all believe in the same God. I believe this is the same people who are going to say the same God descends from the clouds, as they talk about in the Bible. But they're going to descend from a craft. It's a deception that they can, through things like Project Bluebeam and others like these, you know, unidentified aerial vehicles that the Pentagon says they have. If you haven't heard that, the Pentagon says they have unidentified aerial vehicles in their possession. No one freaked out when they heard that. I want you to hear me when I say that. The Pentagon admitted recently in papers to include the proof of flesh damage from UFOs, the proof that some women mysteriously become impregnated during their times being abducted. They also said that they are in possession of alien craft. Nobody blinked an eye. I didn't hear it being talked about in any churches. Maybe a few out there. I haven't heard it. Let's continue. Let's see how far the deception goes. All right, so this is a question from Sean. He says, we'll definitely get into the religious parallels, but first I want to clear up some misconceptions about the nature of these beliefs and the people behind them. Tell me about the Invisible College. Who are these people and what are they doing? Diana answers by saying, the Invisible College is an old idea that comes from the 17th century British philosopher Francis Bacon, and it was meant to describe the work of scientists that challenged contemporary beliefs of the church. There were two incredible modern scientists, Alan Hynek and Jacques Vallée, who revived the idea. Alan Hynek passed away in 1986. But he's actually the star character in the History Channel show Project Blue Book. Jacques Vallée is still here, and he's an astronomer and a computer scientist who worked on ARPANET, A-R-P-A-N-E-T, which is the military precursor to the Internet. Basically, Hynek and Vallée called themselves the Invisible College once they started to believe the things that they were investigating were somehow either extraterrestrial or interdimensional. They were part of a group of scientists that were known to each other, but were not known to the general public, and who quietly pursued this research on their own time. Sean says, that sounds weird. So Diana says, well, it is weird. I didn't expect to confront this when I started my book. In fact, I almost stopped my book a number of times because I thought it was so odd. I started this project as an atheist who was never really interested in UFOs or aliens. Okay, so now I'm really confused. She's a historian of Catholicism, a professor, and also an atheist. Is any of that making sense to you? But she started off as an atheist and was never really interested in UFOs or aliens. Something's changed her mind. Let's read. So once I started engaging with the scientists who were doing this work, who believed in the reality of extraterrestrial intelligence, who believed they were reverse engineering technology from what they insisted was alien aircraft, I was stunned. What's strange today is that these scientists don't really talk to each other the way they did in, say, the 1970s. Now, they're much more compartmentalized and worried about attracting too much attention or having their research distorted. So they work in the shadows and mostly independently. I met with 5 or 6 of them, each of whom are working on different things. And these are all extremely educated people who have prestigious positions at credible agencies or research institutions. Sean asked Diana, can you give me a sense of the kind of people you're talking about and the kinds of positions they occupy? Diana says, one of the scientists I met, who I call Tyler in the book, has worked on most of the space shuttle missions, and he's founded biotechnology companies worth several million dollars. Another scientist, who I call James, is an endowed chair of science at one of the nation's top universities, and he has at least 2 laboratories under his control. So these are the sort of people I interacted with. And I say, say what you will of their beliefs and their research, they can't dismiss as unserious or ignorant. Sean asked, you admit in the book to experiencing an epistemological shock to your understanding of the world After reading this literature and engaging with the scientists and believers behind the movement, did they convince you that there's something here? Diana says, I wouldn't call myself an atheist any longer. But I also wouldn't say that I'm a believer. I don't quite believe that there are extraterrestrials. I would say, though, that these scientists have discovered something that is truly anomalous. But I'm in a position to say what it is or where it came from. But I'm not in a position to say this. All I can say is that I was shocked to discover the level of scientific inquiry into extraterrestrial life. I thought I was going to interview people who just saw things, and I was going to basically say, well, you know, this is a new structure for belief in aliens and UFOs. I had no clue that there were actually people at top universities that were studying these things on their own, that there were a whole underground network of people doing the same work, and that there was much more to this than people imagine. Since journalist Helen Cooper, Leslie Keen, and Ralph Blumenthal have published two articles in the New York Times, one December 2017, and the second one last week, focusing on the military's involvement in programs associated with UFOs and materials of UFOs, there has been a lot of public interest into the subject, even among my colleagues who used to scoff at the notion. So Sean asked Diana, what shocked you exactly? Diana replies, shortly after I started working on this book, I began to get inquiries from scientists who were interested in talking with me specifically in person about what I was writing. Frankly, I was very suspicious of them at first, and I didn't want to engage. But one of the scientists I mentioned a minute ago, Tyler, he asked me if I'd go to a place in New Mexico with him. Tyler is a materials scientist and was involved in the space shuttle program almost his entire life. The location he wanted to bring me, is a kind of ground zero for the UFO religion. I said, I'd go if I could bring somebody, so I brought a colleague of mine, who is a molecular scientist. So we traveled to New Mexico, and Tyler brings us to this site, blindfolded, which was very weird, but part of our agreement. He didn't want us to know where we were exactly, but we got out there, and we actually find some things that are quite odd, and we take them and study them more closely. Now, the backstory. The backstory here dates to the 1940s and the mythology of Roswell, New Mexico, as the alleged site of various UFO crashes. The place we went to wasn't Roswell, but it was nearby. Anyway, what we found was undeniably strange, and I still don't really understand what it was or how it got there. I have to say, though, it gave me serious pause. Sean asked Diana, can you describe what you found, what did it look like, and why was it so strange? Diana says, it's very hard to describe. One of the materials, a kind of metal alloy, looked like metallic frog skin. There was another material we found, but I was asked by Tyler not to describe it publicly or in the book. But if you're looking for more context about the sort of materials we found, you can read the New York Times story that ran in 2017. Sean asks, one explanation is that this piece of supposed alien wreckage was planted there by Tyler. Diana says, no question. I opened the book with this story and I never concluded whether it's true or not, whether it was planted or not. My job as a scholar of religion isn't to determine what or whether religious beliefs are true. I'm interested in the effects of the belief itself. So, I'm going to stop right there. This is a very important thing for you out there, having these conversations with people, with your children, with your spouses, with people that you work with. Or let's say you mentor people and they have these types of questions for you. This is the type of stuff that worries me. She said, my job as a scholar of religion, an atheist scholar of religion, isn't to determine whether religious beliefs are true. I'm interested in the effects of the belief itself. The effects of any type of belief, when it comes to a religion, and I'm not talking about the religion, well, I'll just go ahead and say it, any religion. If you have a relationship with Christ, that's not a religion, right? Religion is man-made hogwash. It is about manipulation, deception, and mind control over masses of people. A lot of times, for the effects to enrich the people who are the propagators of this religion. Okay? What she's talking about with this UFO religion is the eventuality of the ability to control the perceived notion of people in this world who are of faith. Christ says that when he comes back, will he find any faith in the world? Faith in him. Faith in him. Faith in the fact that Jesus willfully poured out his blood for our sins as our only source of redemption. What is it that this lady is trying to put across? What do you think? Email me. Let me know what you think. Start these conversations, people. Start having them. Start seeing what people believe with this, because you'll be shocked. You will be shocked. Do it in your church. Ask your pastor. Show him this article. It's on Vox.com. All right? I've already told you the beginning, what the article is. This is the type of stuff that needs to be talked about in church, people. We have Christians who are asleep at the wheel. And when they get woken up, many of them are going to be deceived. Many of them are going to fall into a deception that's going to take them away from the bosom of Christ. And they are going to be that level, I guess you could say, of control is going to be usurped by this alien religion. Now, I will say this, I'm not going to take away from the thought that the Antichrist could be part of this. I don't know. All right, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know. I'm not a scholar, I'm not a religious scholar. I believe that the Antichrist is going to come from the lineage of David, because that's how they'll be able to say that he is the Messiah that's returned. But this has weight to it. This has weight to people who have gone through a series of psychosis from 9/11 to the flat earthers. No offense, guys. I'm not trying to offend anyone who believes in the flat earth theory. I respect your beliefs. But it's a form of manipulation and mind control. All right. So the 9/11 stuff, the flat earthers, the COVID. Hey, man, this deception goes round and round and round. Look at Disneyland. Did anyone ever think, that Disneyland was actually the castle of pedophiles? Maybe some of you did. I would never take my kids there. But this type of stuff, this ufology religion, it's going to fool so many people who are wavering in their faith, so many people who are depressed, severely depressed. And what a great time, let's talk about that. What a great time to present a new religion that you will be able to see up in the clouds, that the Pentagon will be able to confirm with you And then these people look up and they say, ah, my redemption draweth nigh. It's the aliens. Many will be deceived. Don't be one of them. All right, let's continue. And this is Diana speaking. But as for the evidence we found, I have to be equivocal about it. But I honestly still don't know what it was. I just can't explain it. The material we discovered and the other pieces of evidence that have emerged are genuinely anomalous. And that's about the most we can say about it. Do aliens actually exist? I don't know. But my book, which obviously she's trying to sell this book, but my book is more about this new form of religiosity and how it's becoming more influential among scientists and people in Silicon Valley and Americans more generally. I think she's right when she says that, to be honest with you. It's the latest, greatest wow. You know, everybody's talking about UFOs. The Pentagon's, you know, coming out with all this stuff about UFOs. They could have came out generations ago about it. Why now? Do you ever ask yourself that? Have you ever sat back and asked yourself, why the hell do I care about information that, I don't know, 80% of the country already believes is true? Why is it that under the Biden administration, this is really starting to come out? Under Trump's administration, this was really starting to come out? You have to ask the question because we're being given a narrative. There's an end result here. There's a next level event. And as I've said before, these things are event driven. One event drives the next series of events. And there are narratives to connect everything. Let's continue. Sean asked the question, I'm curious, why you call this a new form of religion? Traditional religions have dogmas and rituals, and they function as an anchor for the individual and a community. I guess I don't quite see the parallels in the case of UFOs and aliens. Am I missing something? Pay attention, folks. Diana responds, the problem is that we tend to think of our religion, our own religions, when we think of religiosity. And in the United States, most people are Christian or Jewish or Muslim. These are the traditional religions of the book that shape most of our Western understanding of history. But there are many different religions, and some don't involve things like gods or even dogmas. Zen Buddhism, for instance, eschews the idea of a god. It also tries to cure its practitioners of dogmas. Today, there are religions based on movies like Star Wars. So we do have to understand the religion is not exactly what we think it is. Part of what I want to say in this book is that religion can take many forms, and the same religion can take different shapes in different places. Ah, here we go. What we're seeing now are new forms of religion emerging from our infrastructure of digital technology and technology in general. Religions are shaped by their environments, just like most things. And think about what many religions consist of. Often a religion begins with the contact from something divine, something beyond the normal plane of human experience, and that thing communicates with a person on earth. And then there's a story told about it. And then from that story, we get a larger narrative that erupts into what we call religious traditions. Something very similar is happening right now around belief in extraterrestrial life. What fascinates me about this new form of religion is that scientists and people who generally distance themselves from things like miracles seem to embrace this new religious form. When we have leaders of the scientific community, of government, of big tech, of the military-industrial complex that will give weight to this new religion. It will take over the world because they can use as much propaganda or props as they want to convince people of this. 10 years ago, man, 10 years ago, and I've always been a believer of UFOs. My mom and I, as you know, when I was a kid, we used to watch X-Files. And so I've always been a scientific nerd. I'm a 6 foot tall, 290 pound scientific nerd. And I'll tell you this much. It captivates me, even to this day, the notion of the possibility of other life being out there. You know, that's the kid in me. I want to explore. And I guess I could blame that for growing up also watching Indiana Jones. I want to go out there and explore things that are dark and mysterious that, you know, people are afraid to go and see. That's just, it's like built into my blood to want to go and see stuff like that. But at the same time, being a awakened Christian, I have that alarm bell from the Holy Ghost Spirit that's in me saying, hold on a second, this is not what you think it is. Be very careful. Be very cautious. Apply the blood of Jesus when you look at stuff like this. Because if you don't put those blinders on, you're going to be blinded by these types of information because it captivates people. It captivates people because people, and here's my honest approach to it, people are bored. People typically live mundane lives. They need something new and fresh and interesting that's captivating, that everybody likes, that everybody gets excited about, and then you get caught up in it, right? You get really caught up in it. If you don't believe that, look at how caught up our society was with Game of Thrones, the show Game of Thrones, or the show The Walking Dead. You know, when The Walking Dead was going on, while I was in DHS, we had the zombie apocalypse scenario training. I never went through it. But, you know, I know where it took place at. These popular things can captivate people. And governments, because the government always wants to make sure they have your attention, they will prop up the most popular belief, and then they will take and steer that belief in their direction. That's where you get groups like the Illuminati. That's where you get people like the steering committee from the Bilderberger Group, or the Bohemian Grove, or the Skull and Bones, or you have the Invisible College. You have little bitty small interest groups of billionaires and these politicians who want to captivate and control the world. And they're either going to do it by war, religion, or disease. They've admitted that. You know, it's a way to captivate people. I don't know how else to really put that. That's what we're viewing right now. That's what we're listening to. This lady is a proponent of this. All right, let's continue. Maybe the fascination with aliens springs from some deep need for wonder or awe in a world increasingly stripped of it, and in which some of the traditional religions have lost their emotional power. This is Sean asking Diana, and Diana responds, I absolutely agree with that. I also think that we're doing more space exploration. We have different types of satellites now that we're using, satellites that can connect with our technology and personal devices. So there's that element of this, but there's much more going on. We're in a kind of planetary crisis at the moment, and there's an increase in apocalyptic beliefs about our capacity to survive on Earth. A lot of people see disaster on the horizon, and there is a deep fear that we won't be able to save ourselves. So what will save us? Well, for some, it may be these advanced beings who come to us and tell us what we can do or how we can escape. Maybe they will help us find another planetary home. Or maybe they'll bring some life-saving technology. Who knows? But these sorts of beliefs are lurking beneath a lot of the popular fascination with alien life. 100% agree with that. I 100% agree with the fact that suicides are up by like 80% worldwide. Depression is up by almost 100% worldwide. We're starting to have conflicts with other nations. We're going through a food crisis. Our food processing plants are just magically killing themselves. I guess maybe they got visited by Hillary. We're going to start a war with Russia and Ukraine and China and all their allies of the BRICS nations. They want a new monetary system around the world, this new digital currency. The mark of the beast is what it seems to be. Everybody's got to take a vaccine or you can't vote, you can't play outside, you can't go eat, you can't go worship, you can't go to work. France is creating a Chinese-style social credit score. Ukraine already did it. Australia did it. New Zealand did it. Europe's doing it. America's working on it. Canada's working on it. So there's a lot of things happening around the world. And it's putting people down. What people want is something to uplift them. What people want is something to go, oh, all this stuff sucks around the world, but at least I have this cool thing to watch 1 hour a night about UFOs, and then I get to daydream about being on a ship, traveling through the universe, going to a new alien planet, seeding life there, and creating a new utopia away from the military-industrial complex and their wars, which, by the way, they're going to be the ones that are going to be flying all the flights. So don't think you'll escape the military-industrial complex. I find it fascinating. I really do. I think it's interesting that we're not having this discussion in the classrooms and in schools, because we're talking about what? Transgenderism, the LGBTQ pedophilia movement. But this conversation needs to take place in people's homes and people's houses of worship, because it's going to be part of a narrative that's used to deceive people. Many are going to come in the name of Christ, but they will not be him. Just saying. So, the author of this article, Sean, he asked the question, do you see the obsession with alien life as a byproduct of our worship of technology? And Diana responds, that's a great question. That isn't easy to answer. Surely a lot of it has to do with technology. Technology defines our world and culture, and it's our new God. Wow. Why don't you just come right out and say it? The new thing we have to reckon with, one way or the other. Technology is our new God. Oh, I just hear Mark of the Beast in my head when I say that. She says, there's the idea that technology like artificial intelligence is going to kill us. But then there's this idea that technology will be our savior, which is a very religious idea. So there's already a kind of dichotomy around technology. But the point is that no matter what you think about technology and its impact on human life, there's no denying its importance. Whether we're worried about technology destroying us, or whether we're hoping it will save us, we're all more or less convinced that it will be at the center of our future, and aliens, in so many ways, play the role of technological angels. My face is buried in my hands. I can't believe I just read that. Technological angels. There are people out there who are going to believe this. Sean asked the question, I'm curious how religious authorities you interacted with regard this belief in extraterrestrial life. If we were to learn that alien life exists, it would completely upend the religious worldview. Do they see it as a threat? Diana responds. It is a fascinating question. There are definitely people who believe that the revelation of alien life would completely change religions, but I don't see it that way. If you look at a lot of religions, they are already incorporating ideas of UFOs. If you look at different forms of Buddhism, for example, you have types of Bodhisattvas that appear to be floating on discs and things like that. I spend a lot of time at the Vatican. I knew it. I spend a lot of time at the Vatican. And there are people there like astronomer Guy Consolmagno, author of the book Would You Baptize an Extraterrestrial, who wouldn't blink an eye if alien life suddenly appeared. I actually think secularists and atheists would be more troubled because of popular depictions of aliens in movies like Independence Day. People are primed to see aliens as an existential threat, some superior invading force. But religious people, at least the ones I interact with, would regard aliens as just another being created by God. But there's no doubt that the discovery of non-human intelligence would be profound, and it's impossible to know how much it would alter our perception of ourselves and our place in the universe. Wow. Well, there you have it. It's dangerous, folks. If you are not firmly rooted in your beliefs of Christ, you are going to be deceived. Start reading Revelation tonight. Be ye not deceived. All I can say is that Satan comes in all shapes and lying wonders. The whole world lies with the evil one, as Steve Quayle would say quite a bit. And we have people that are out there like Steve Quayle and others who have been sounding the horn for decades, that this stuff is happening, that this stuff is out there, and that we need to pay attention to it, and we need to spread the gospel more and more, or we are going to lose more and more citizens of the kingdom of heaven to these lies. I recently talked to Steve, and, you know, Steve's a great guy. All right. Steve's one of those guys who he has his heart out to try and help people, to save people. But he sees the deception that's happening, and it takes a toll on a man who have, you know, literally spent most of his adult life trying to sound the alarm of what is happening, and then to almost just be brushed aside because people are infatuated with the idea of aliens, alien life, and them being our saviors. Christians, honestly. And I've seen these questions, I've heard of them, and there are quite a few of these, quote, Christian beliefs out there that believe that, you know, God lives on another planet like the Mormons do. Or that, you know, the wheels of Ezekiel, the craft that God is on, is actually a spacecraft. We need to be careful about our words. And I think we need to pay more attention to the words of God than the words of many of these agnostics and atheists out there, because they are going to give you proof that's been in the Bible for thousands of years, that there is only one God and that he sent his son to redeem us. But these people are going to peddle you another lie, that there are other gods and other sons who can also redeem you. Be ye not deceived. Ladies and gentlemen, my name's Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. If you like what you're listening to, please go to the YouTube channel and Rumble channel and subscribe. I read the analytics of the website, and, you know, the analytics are growing. More people are showing up to the site. More people are showing up to the YouTube and to the Rumble account, and that's awesome. You can do me a huge favor. If you like the videos that you listen to, comment on them. You can dislike them, too, and you can comment that you don't like it. And if you want to ask me a question, you can go to AmericanVindictiveShow.com and ask me a question. If I can't give you the answer, I know the guys in these fields, I'll reach out and I'll ask. And I'll try to give you the best answer that I can for your questions. If you have any questions about what type of tactical gear, optics, helmets, vests, plates, weaponry, ammunition, you know, shooting courses, do you need a license to carry? If you have any of those regular questions that you're trying to find the answer for, and or if you have a particular piece of gear that you want to buy but you want to make sure it's not garbage, hit me up, AmericanVindictiveShow.com. Please use the email source that's in there. It's how I can track everything. I get a lot of emails, and the best way that I can track it is if it comes through the website. If you want to donate, the donate button's right there. There's also the P.O. Box number that's on there. We are working on merchandise, so we're working on, you know, some shirts and hats and stuff like that. And I got some really cool designs, but this stuff's expensive, so I'm not going to give you anything crap. I want to put out quality material for all y'all. I just want to say before I end this that I appreciate everyone who listens to me. I appreciate everyone who has been in contact with me, who emails me. I think I have one of the coolest, greatest audiences out there. Please show Dave Hodges some love, by the way. You can go to thecommonsenseshow.com. Sign up for the TV program. It's $2.99 a month. It's less than a cup of coffee. Also, before I leave, birthrightconference.com. If you haven't purchased your tickets yet, if you got nothing better to do on May 6th and 7th, I know it's Mother's Day weekend, but what better gift than taking your mom to go and see Tim Alberino, all right? Hey, I'll make sure he stands there and he takes a picture with you. Listen, this conference is talking about these topics that I just covered with you, the transhumanism, the UFOs, the UFO religion. This stuff is going to be mentioned at this conference. If you can't make it, that sucks, but you will be able to buy DVDs, and I think you will be able to watch it online. Please make sure you check out birthrightconference.com. Show Tim Alberino some love. Get his book, Birthright. It's actually a really amazing read. Ladies and gentlemen, my name's Doug Thornton. Thank you very much for listening to me. I'm out of here.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.